Speaking of a man who's got plenty to say, be very interested to hear his thoughts on the way Manly have fought back over the last couple of weeks, and of course what's happening out there at the foot of the mountains. They won on Friday night, anything but convincing. Let's hear Zorba's thoughts on the Penrith Panthers. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Mossy.
Morning, Zorb.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting times at the foot of the mountains. That win, that last gasp win in extra golden point time. I don't think it hides what is going on there at Penrith. That was a desperately unlucky West Tigers side. They're the better side. Massive problem they've got at dummy half. Four rounds and Solomon and Sione Katoa has convinced me he's at the heart of the Panthers' inability to score tries. They just can't score tries at the moment. There's no spark at the ruck, no testing the opposition's big middlemen. And I got a solution for Ivan Cleary. I would rush the boom youngster, Jerome Luai, into number nine now. He's a footballer, and his skills at 6 and 7, we saw last year when they rushed him into the NRL. He's not going to crack it for a spot at 6 and 7 for a while until their veteran 5'8". Obviously, James Maloney gives it away, but I would make him a 9 straight away, and I reckon that'd get the side moving. But aside from their problems on the field, off it, I don't see how the Phil Gould, Ivan Cleary, and Dave O'Neill, the chairman, saga at Penrith, I think it's got the potential to really rip that club apart this year. O'Neill, I reckon, will rue the day he got involved to the extent he has in the coaching department, where he went for Ivan Cleary, and it's been revealed now that Phil Gould already had Wayne Bennett coming. Gus will smoke his pipe, say little, cop his 800,000, and strike when the time is right. I don't know how powerful O'Neill is at Penrith, but I hope he likes a fight because he's got one, and it'll continue until there's a winner, and I don't think it'll be him.
It's fascinating, isn't it? He has taken the back seat, Gus. Danny Widler comes out today and supports him in the newspaper, which, you know, they're stable mates at Channel 9, so that's interesting in of itself. And the way the team plays is going to be crucial, because at the end of the day, as they say, he can sit back and say, I had Bennett. I had him. I had Wayne Bennett coming to the club. Just on that, Jerome Luai played dummy half for the last 20 minutes of the Canterbury Cup last week, and it might be Ivan Cleary's way of saying, well, let's see how he goes there.
I think it's got to happen. I mean, you've seen a lot more of him than me, Jimmy.
Yep.
I just think the times I've seen him, he's just all class. And he would relish the role. I mean, what have they scored? They scored one try in two games.
Yes.
For a Penrith side that we all had heading for the top four. There's problems there. I mean... The work by Ivan Cleary is tough enough. To have his son as halfback makes it doubly tougher. And to see the kid come through that clutch situation the other night was unbelievable. He's got ice blocks in his veins.
Yep.
And it was brilliant. But he's not playing well. And that's the situation that they've got to face at Penrith at the moment. There's problems galore there.
Yeah, Zorb, I know the family well. Obviously, I go a long way back with Ivan. And I'm not overly surprised that Nathan came through that week the way he did. That, as you said, the ice in the veins, and they're a very calm and measured family. How much extra pressure do you think Ivan coaching Nathan is putting on the team on a weekly basis?
I just think it's massive. I don't think I would like that. I think that it would take my mind off the job that I've got to do, and that's to coach. There's going to come a time when the kid has some poor games and the pressure will mount. I recall another coach at Penrith who coached his son, and that was Johnny Lang.
Yep.
And Martin was the son. I recall a story where Martin Lang used to like to sit in a spot on the bus, and a winger by the name of Chris Hicks sat in the spot and said, look, Lang said, get out of my seat. He said, I didn't see a reserve sign on it. And it was a bit of a scuffle. Hicksy didn't go too bad. A couple of weeks later, he was on the way out of the club. Those sort of things can happen all the time, and you have to take sides. And blood's thicker than water. I don't like it.
Great story. Excellent insight. What about the Canberra Raiders? They had a win last night. I'm a little bit concerned about the Cowboys and the way they're travelling, but 30 points to 12 in the end for the Raiders. It sounds a lot easier than it actually was.
They're going awful, the Cowboys. Yeah. I mean, they've got major problems at fullback. I don't know if Tamari Martin, I think he's overrated. He doesn't excite me as a fullback. I think they've got problems at hooker. We're talking about the hookers getting out of dummy half and creating. Jake Greenville used to do it, but he doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I think they've got a problem at 5'8". He's young. Jake Clifford, I think they've got problems in the centres, and their forwards should be going a lot better than they are going. And I think they're looking for excuses. With Tomalolo out, I think they're resting on their laurels, and there's not much there. I see a tough season ahead for them. When I thought at the start of the year they'd be a gun side, but Canberra, they've come up with the best forward buyer of the year. We've spoken about Bateman, but they've also got one of the best backs of the year too, in weird name, Charms Nickel Klostad.
Yes.
Now, he was at the Warriors, couldn't get a look in there, got a few games on the wing as a replacement, and you can understand with the wingers they've got at the Warriors, but he's been a revelation for the Canberra Raiders. He's been one of their best players in every one of the four games. He was good again last night.
Yep.
He's steady under the high ball. He comes into the game well at the right time. He offloads. He's a strong player, and he's cheap. I reckon they've done well. Ricky's done a great job in recruiting, and his recruitment team. They're looking really good.
Zorba, let's just change tack slightly to Wayne Bennett. Now, his team came unstuck against our mighty Seagulls last night, but is he the only legend coach in the NRL, in your opinion?
Well, he's not in the NRL anymore, but, I mean, we all think that Wayne Bennett's longevity as a top-level coach is legendary. But over in grimy, fog-affected Hull, it's a terrible place. You've been there?
Oh, mate, Hull's awful.
Hull is terrible. I mean, there's a beautiful bridge there, but you never see it. Boomba River. Anyway, there's another Aussie coach coaching a club over there, Hull KR, which is one of the great clubs. And indeed, Tim Sheens actually started his first grade career in 1984.
Yes.
3 years before Bennett got a co-coaching gig in Canberra alongside Don Ferner, and they made the 87 grand final. The year after, Bennett went to the Broncos and remained there for a long, long time. Sheens, his defection to the Canberra Raiders came when Bennett left, and it was blown in an impromptu radio call I received on air from a caller listed on the monitor as Tim from Berrima. I was filling in a morning shift on 2GB for John Laws, and as soon as I heard the voice, I knew who the caller was. It was Tim Bristow. Private investigator, standover man, who in the 60s, 70s and 80s was a, well, I'll say colourful character.
Okay.
Strong links to the underworld.
Right.
And a bouncer at the Newport Arms Hotel.
Yes, that's right. And it was at the Newport Arms Hotel where one of the legendary battles took place for Tim Bristow, who was in charge of security there and head bouncer. They tell me a blue there, which went for about a half an hour, between Tim Bristow and Tony Madigan. Tony Madigan, semi-final, Rome 1960 Olympics, came up against a young boxer from the United States called Cassius Clay.
Wow.
Later to be known as Muhammad Ali. They tell me the blue went for a half an hour. They hit each other with rights, lefts, chairs, anything they could. And in the end, neither of them could lift an arm. In anger, and the crowd just cheered them both. They had a beer together after it.
Are you serious?
I am serious. It's a true story. Well, I got this call on air. Tim from Berrima, and as I said, as soon as I heard the voice, I knew it. He was on gardening duty outside Berrima prison, where he was a prisoner, when he called on a payphone to tell me that bloke that coaches Penrith is having coffee with two men in green shirts at the cafe opposite the jail. He's walked across the road, spotted the two officials who were with Sheens, and had a look at their emblems on their shirts, and they were from Canberra. Canberra's cover was blown. I said, well, obviously, he's the new coach of the Canberra Raiders. He stayed 8 years, won the Raiders' first title in 1989. He's still coaching over at Hull Kingston Rovers, and this weekend he coached their side to beat Dave Ferner, a great name from Canberra, their lead side. Conrad Hurrell scored 4 tries, but they got beaten. So I read today where Cronulla may be looking at bringing Tim Sheens back to Australia as their head of football.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Dave Ferner would have been his ball boy, and he would have given him his first NRL game too, Tim Sheens.
Well, that's incredible, isn't it? He coached at Penrith from 84 to 87. He's coached over 800 games, as has Wayne Bennett. But we all think about Bennett being, you know, the longest-standing coach, but here's a man that coached before him at the top level, still going. Amazing.
Yeah, incredible. All right, Zorb, we're going to get your Zappers today. They're very short, the Melbourne Storm against the Dogs. They surprised everyone last week, Canterbury. What about Newcastle up against St George as well? That's a tight one.
Well, I'm a firm believer in some clubs go better against other clubs. And I started the week off thinking maybe Newcastle with Ponga going back to fullback.
Yes.
And Mason Lino coming in at 5'8". Dufty back at fullback. And now Tyson Frizzell making his comeback from injury today. 16-4 the Dragons lead Newcastle in their last 20 games. 7 out of the last 8 they've beaten them. So I'm going to go for Illawarra today. Sir George Illawarra.
Yes.
To beat Newcastle. And, well, the Dogs have got a great record against the Storm, one of the best in the comp. They've won 21 to 18 losses against the Storm, but with Kieran Foran out, who was by far their best last week, I think the Storm will cover the start in that game and beat the Dogs, who are improving, but I'm going Storm into St George Illawarra.
Okay, so Storm minus 17 and a half.
That's a lot, isn't it?
You're very brave. Anyway, Storm minus...
Yeah, that's a lot.
Hang on, you can't change it on air.
I'm not changing it.
All right.
I'll cover it.
Okay.
There's only 3 converted tries.
And the Dragons, you're going to take them head-to-head? They're
$2.15. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
All right. Now, the other just quickly before we let you go, Tommy T, what's the latest?
Hamstring. It's been reported in the media today that it is the same leg that he'd done in the trial against Cronulla. My mail is it's not. It's the other one.
Right.
And it's not as bad as the first one, but when you do it without anyone touching you in a situation like that, it's not good. But they gutted it out. Terry Evans led very well. It was a gutsy win against an unbeaten side, and Des has certainly got them going a lot better than they were a year ago.
All right. And next week we look forward to a George Freeman story or another Sydney Underworld
Timmy
figure.
Timmy Bristow one. That's one of your best.
Well, I've got a few of him. Don't worry about that. I love doing police rounds, and Sydney in the 70s and 80s was just tremendous. I love gangsters and love mixing with them, and I felt more at home with them than with the average Joe, and Sydney was a hive of illegal gambling joints, and I love going there and picking up the stories that I'd never get anywhere else.
Well,
of course,
Canterbury
had an underworld figure as one of their trainers. Nobody knew about him.
Yeah, I can confirm your Timmy Bristow ones. You'll remember the days I was at the Manly Daily doing crime. I used to get a daily call from him telling me what was going on when I was a crime reporter
right?
from the Manly Daily. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
the number of situations he got me out of in the cross was... You know, as a young bloke doing police rounds, I had to spend most of my time up there, and I was always thankful for his company.
All right, we're on 7-second delay here, just confirming, so we're all set to go. Good on you, Zorb. We'll chat next week.
See you, boys.
See you, Zorb.